And so I take a moment just to read those some of those verses to you again. Verse 42 of Matthew says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him." This is the word of the Lord, and we can trust it. Well, good morning and happy new year. I love to say that at this time every year. It is the first day of Advent, and for Christians, that marks the very beginning of the church calendar, the day that we begin to look forward to Christ's arrival. Now, many people look at Advent as a time of symbolic waiting. We light candles every week to mark the Sundays. We've even assigned each candle a little theme to help us remember some of the basic characteristics of a life lived in Christ. Today's candle was hope. And during this waiting period, we also look forward to Christmas, which for most people is the real deal. And it's odd for us as believers to think that while the world is singing Christmas carols, we are waiting for Christ to come. In fact, we usually have greenery, and you can go to almost any sanctuary in the United States today and you'll see all kinds of greenery and lights and all kinds of stuff. But we wait at least 1 week before we start that portion of Advent. So next week you'll see a tree and you'll see lights and you'll see all of the things that help us remember that Christ is coming as he is born at Christmas. Now there's one thing that remains consistent in this season of Advent if you use the lectionary cycle, which I typically do. In all 3 years of that lectionary, the first Sunday in Advent is about the end times or Christ's return. Every single gospel addresses that particular subject. And for centuries, people have fixated on Christ's return. Fred Craddock, maybe you know him. I know you've heard me mention him. He was a very famous preacher. And he once said that maybe people are so obsessed with the second coming because deep down they're disappointed in the first one. So on this, the first Sunday of the Christian year, we are going to turn our thoughts toward Christ's return. Instead of looking back at his birth and his life and his death and resurrection, we are going to look forward to his return as he comes to join us again, as God promised. And as people of God, we know that God keeps his promises. So in verse 36 of that passage from Matthew today, the first verse that was read, it says this: "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father." And then Jesus tells the disciples about the days of Noah and the flood. He tells them that he will return when everything just looks real normal, like it happened when Noah was getting ready for that flood. People were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, just regular old stuff like people do every single day. But then to help them really grasp this thing, in verses 42 to 44, he says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on which day the Lord will come." He even told them earlier, "I don't even know. I don't even know the date of my return. But understand this," he says, "if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." There's this Randy Travis song. Has everybody heard of Randy Travis? What a great voice he has. And years ago, he recorded a song called 1982. Do y'all know that song? Well, like most country songs, it tells a story. And so in this story, the singer calls the operator on the phone and asks to be connected to the year 1982. He says he wants to apologize to his lost love for not loving her when he had the chance. And the refrain says, and I tried this at 8:30. I didn't make it through it, but I'll try it again. This just gets kind of crazy. But it goes like this. They say hindsight's 20/20, and I'm nearly going blind from staring at her photograph and wishing she was mine. He wishes that he could still have this loved woman in his life, but he has squandered the chance. It's almost like he's saying, if I'd only know then what I know now, things might be different. And we all have times in our lives when we would have done something differently if only we had known what the outcome was going to be. Hindsight is 20/20, but we look forward, not backwards, when it comes to meeting Jesus, because Jesus is always coming. Now, I remember a time many years ago when we were with friends. We still lived out in the country at that point, and it was 17 miles to town, so in order to get together with friends and haul all the way into town, it was pretty rough. And so we would just get in the car and drive 7 or 8 miles to the Catholic church that was close by. And they had these really great grounds. It was kind of like a picnic area. There were lots of picnic tables under a cover, and there was a volleyball court, and there was a little merry-go-round where kids could play, and there was even a full-size baseball field there. If you can believe it, that tiny community had a semi-pro baseball team, go figure, but they did. And so young couples and single kids who were connected to all of those families out there, we would kind of on the spur of the moment say, we're going to meet at St. Rock's, let's go. And so we would all take our kids, and there were so many kids out there. And so we'd come together, and we'd visit, we'd play volleyball, we'd just kind of do regular stuff, you know, that people do. And so that particular night, there were many, many children from about the ages of 2 to 14. So many kids were there. And there were two boys in particular who were about 12 years old, Patrick and Eddie. And those two ran off to the baseball field to, you know, mess around like boys that age will do. And the rest of us just continued visiting. And then someone got the bright idea to ask me for no apparent reason to sing Amazing Grace, just like we're visiting and now we'd like you to sing Amazing Grace. And I said, no. And they said, no, please, please. And, no, I won't. And I continued to resist. And I wouldn't do it because just standing here singing that. I didn't make it through that whole refrain, by the way. But just standing here singing in front of y'all is hard. And so back then it was even impossible. And so they finally just gave up. They just gave up, and they went on, and they played, and they did their volleyball, and they visited, and they did all that kind of stuff. And then the night wore on, and finally Billy and I loaded our kids up, and we got in the car, and we went home. And the next day, one of our friends who had been there with us that night called and to tell us that Patrick Truchart had died that night. And I said, what happened? Well, it turns out that he and Eddie had been running across the baseball field to come back and join the group. And Eddie was out in the front. They were both athletic boys. And Eddie was out in the front, and Patrick fell down. And Eddie said, come on! And he kept running. And he thought that Patrick was just messing with him. You know how kids are. And so after Eddie got back, they said, where's Patrick? He said, he just fell or whatever, you know. But after a while, they finally saw, we need to go find him. He's not back yet. And so they went to that baseball field and found Patrick there. And they took him to the hospital. It was really already too late, but it turned out that Patrick had had a fainting spell about 2 weeks before that, and they didn't quite know what was wrong, but they finally figured out that he had a heart defect that he had had from birth, and it had never been discovered. Well, the whole community was devastated by this, as I'm sure you can imagine, especially those of us who were there that night, and especially Eddie, the 12-year-old friend. And everybody was saying, if we had only, what if? And all I could think about was, I wish I hadn't been afraid to sing Amazing Grace in front of everybody. Because if I had sung it right when they asked me to, I might have sung it right when Patrick was dying, and it might have been a comfort to his parents. And from that time on, I have never declined to sing about God when given the chance. But if I had only known that night that Jesus was coming, maybe I would have done things differently. Now, most of us think that if we know in advance when things are going to happen, we might be more prepared to face them. Some people believe that if they know the exact date of Jesus' return, it'll be a lot easier to get prepared. I don't know if you've ever seen a bumper sticker that says, "Jesus is coming, look busy." There is that bumper sticker. Well, the bottom line is this: Jesus came to that baseball field that very night, and no amount of preparation could have made that experience any easier for any one of us. And so actually, not to know is a gift from God. He gives us the gift of not knowing in advance. And the truth of the matter is, we can't predict how hard something's going to be, even when we know in advance that it is going to be hard. When we moved to Fredericksburg, I can't tell you how many times I thought, I knew this was going to be hard, but I didn't know it was going to be this hard. We cannot prepare ourselves in that way for hardship and trials. Being prepared for difficulty is no guarantee that it won't be hard. And I don't know how many of you have read verses 1 through 35 of chapter 24 in Matthew. Anybody read those verses? Well, Jesus paints a picture of chaos, danger, hardship, and downright terror previous to his coming. He speaks of earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars, false prophets, escaping with only the clothes on our backs, famines, persecution of believers, and an increase of wickedness. So his words about preparedness have very little to do with psyching ourselves out or with getting the right gear in place. Jesus' words about being ready have to do with how well we know him. He is saying that he will come like a thief in the night. But here's the thing, if you're friends with the thief, there's a good chance you'll be able to talk to him instead of being afraid of him. Jesus is saying that our readiness has to do with how well we know him and how we can trust him even when all of these terrible things are happening. We have this idea that Jesus is somehow not here, not now, and that he's going to come again whenever the time is right. Well, Carlo Coretto says in his book, The God Who Comes, and by the way, I commend that book to you, but if you go to Amazon to buy it, you might have to buy a used copy. It's probably out of print. But Carlo Coretto says this: every prayer-filled day sees a meeting with the God who comes. Every night, which we faithfully put at his disposal, is full of his presence. God's coming is bound to his promise, not to our works or our virtue. God is thrust onward by his love, not attracted by our beauty. God comes even in moments when we've done everything wrong, when we've done nothing, and when we have sinned. In other words, when we're just living life like regular stuff is going on. Christ comes and is coming, whether we are ready or not, and nothing can prevent that. And like you said, he's going to come, just like in the days of Noah, when people were just sitting around eating and drinking and just living their lives, when things were, by all accounts, completely normal. The trick is to be able to recognize him when he comes, whether it is at the end of time, whether it is at the hour of our death, or whether it is tomorrow afternoon when you're getting out of the car to go into the grocery store. Jesus is always coming. But since we have no way of knowing when he will come, and that's a blessing, the best preparation we can possibly have is to be intimately acquainted with him, so that we don't miss him altogether. We have to live every single day looking for Jesus, expecting him to come, and to be able to know him so well that we would not miss him, whether he was in the middle of the room with us or whether he was out on the street and we could see him through the window. We should know him as well as we know when a wife or a husband or a child enters a room. That's how well we should know Jesus. When he comes into our presence, we should know immediately. You know that picture of Jesus where he's standing at that door and knocking? Y'all know that picture? I should have put it on the screen for you. Maybe you've never noticed, but he's standing there knocking on a door, but there's no handle for him to open to go in the door. The whole purpose of that picture is to let us know that Jesus comes and knocks on the door and waits for us to invite him in. He comes where we are. He comes as we are. But he comes to each and every one of us. He's not waiting for us to put everything in perfect order. We're the ones who are obsessed with getting things in perfect order. Jesus is just waiting for an invitation to come in. Jesus will come to us when we recognize him, whether things are in perfect order or not. He comes when we're messy. He comes when we're grieving. He comes when we've messed up so bad that even we don't recognize ourselves anymore. But if we don't trust him enough to open the door, we could miss out on the beauty of spending time with him while we wait for his return. Now, have you ever noticed how children wait for Christmas? Little bitty children. They don't know what date it is. They're just excited that it's coming. It's out there someplace. And they're excited, and they have anticipation, and they have joy, and they're not looking at a calendar date because they can't read or comprehend what a calendar is. That's how we should wait for Jesus. Not looking at the date. Not worrying about all those details about getting everything perfectly ready so that when he gets there, he'll think we're someone else. We wait with anticipation. We wait in a way that we won't have to look back and say, if only I had known he was coming today, I would have done everything differently. Be ready. Jesus is coming. And thanks be to God, we don't know the date. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.